What's going on, people? It's your boy Kalichi back with another episode of the Ramblin' Mind Podcast. How are each and every single one of y'all doing today? I hope y'all are staying safe. I hope y'all are taking care of yourselves. I hope y'all are doing all the things you know you ought to do during these times, my friends. Anyway, this podcast episode is going to be a little bit different from the normal ones that I've made. This podcast episode is actually going to be a webinar recording from a couple of weeks ago when I did a webinar talking about everything you need to know about money. I had a few people on the call and I just shared a few things of what we need to keep in mind when it comes to our finances and a few things that we need to think about when it comes to managing our money. I'm going to be doing these webinars on a monthly basis where basically I'm just going to talk about any kind of financial topic and give room for people to ask questions. I'm going to be hosting it once a month. If you are interested in being a part of the webinar, there's going to be a form in the link below, whether you're watching this on YouTube or if you're watching this or listening to this as a podcast, there's going to be a link in the show notes for you to go check out and fill out and put your name down as to say, hey, send me the invite. I want to be a part of this webinar in the future. So if you want to be part of that, please go check that out. I'll be doing this at least once a month, just sharing different topics and allowing people to ask any questions that they may have about their personal finance situations. I'm hoping to be doing it at least an hour, maybe an hour to an hour and a half, depending on the number of people that we have, and just answer any questions that you have. But here's the webinar. I hope this is helpful for anybody who's just getting started with their money, or even to remind some of us who have been doing this for a little bit, some of the basic concepts that we need to keep in mind when it comes to our finances. But anyway, I'm going to catch you up in the next one. Remember, generosity is always greater than greed. Let's get into it.
Today, we're just going to talk through exactly the key things to know about money. It might be a little bit different from some of the things that you may have heard before, or it might be very similar to some of the things that you may have heard before. We're going to talk about everything that I believe we should know when it comes to money. Everything that I believe we should know when it comes to our money, when it comes to our finances. This might be a little bit different from what you may have heard before and what you may have been told before. I hope to shock you guys a little bit, but I also hope that it comes to a place where everybody can generally get something out of this entire presentation. As more people come in, I'll add them in here, but we'll just go ahead and get started. I don't want to waste you guys' time that showed up on time. I just want to start with this. A lot of times when we think of money, we usually think of money more in the sense of the dollars and cents, and we think of money more in the sense of how much money do I have, how much money do I not have, and we leave out a key part of money, which to me is the emotions behind money, the psychology behind our financial decisions. And so if I were to ask y'all, what is the primary emotion that most people have when it comes to money? What would you guys think it is? You can type this in the chat. What is the primary emotion that you guys think of when it comes to money, or most people think of when it comes to money? What do you guys think that emotion is? The number one emotion that most people have when it comes to money is fear. The number one emotion that most people have is fear. And a study was done by Capital One just to a survey on people to find out, like, okay, how do people feel about money? And the survey reported that 77% of people are anxious about their money situations. And when you go deeper into the survey, you find out that 58% of Americans feel that finances control their entire life. 68% of Americans do not feel like they have enough money to retire. 43% of Americans are tired when they even think about money to start off with. And when you break that down, it's about 42% say that money doesn't allow them to concentrate at work, and 41% they say they can't even sleep because they're thinking about money so much and they're stressed about money all the time. And then another study was done recently. I couldn't find the link and I couldn't find the breakdown of it, but it said that 2 in 5 people would rather talk about anything else other than money. In other words, people would rather talk about ways they could die. People would rather talk about their weird sex situations they found themselves in. People would rather talk about their bowel movements. People would rather talk about all kinds of stuff minus talking about actual money. And when you think about it, when you go back to knowing that the number one emotion that most people have with money is fear, it makes sense that nobody wants to talk about it. It makes sense that nobody wants to dive into the whole idea of money. However, when I think of money, this is my face. This is me. Whenever I think of money, I am excited. I am pumped up. I'm just one of the weird. I'm a weird, for those who know me, I'm super weird when it comes to talking about money because I actually enjoy I really enjoy talking about money. And it's not because of money itself. It's not like I'm like, oh yeah, I'm rolling in dough or I have just a bunch of money. But it's more about what money allows me to do. It's more about when I think about money, I think about all the opportunities that I have and all the things that I can do with my money, whether it comes with I can donate to the charities that I love. I can give to my siblings if anything comes up. I can support my parents if that needs comes up. I can buy and travel to places that I want to go to. I can plan to go on vacations. I can buy a nice dinner for myself, even though I don't like eating out. I can buy plantain chips, which is literally one of my love languages, is plantain chips. I love plantain chips, and I can buy them anytime I want. And for me, when I think of money, I just think, oh, how many plantain chips can I buy today? And it makes me very excited. It makes me very happy to think about money in that sense. In other words, I'm not thinking about like, oh, this debt and that thing and the other thing. I'm just thinking about what are the things that I can do with my money. I'm always thinking about money is the, as somebody once told me, is like money is the way that you express your joy and you express your happiness. Is basically I just use my money to put it towards things that I care about, to put it towards things that are important to me. But to get to this point, I think for most of us to get to this point where we're actually excited to think about money, it comes down to a quote that I heard from Ramit Sethi, who is a writer of a book called I Will Teach You to Be Rich, which is one of the best book, in my opinion, on finances. If you haven't read that book, I definitely would suggest picking that book up as like soon as possible. But in the book, he says something. He says, to be confident with money, first, you must be competent with money. To be confident with money, first, you have to be competent with money. The reason why I can smile and the reason why I'm excited and the reason why I don't really bother too much when it comes to talking about money or thinking about money is because I'm at a point now where I understand my finances. I'm at a point now where I don't really get too bogged down when I'm thinking about what do I do next with my finances? What do I do next with my next thing, with my next dollar? And I think the reason why most of us are afraid when it comes to money is simply the fact that we're not confident or competent, rather. We're not competent with our money. And so we don't gain the confidence to be able to deal with our money, which leads us into the spiral of fearing when it comes to thinking about money. So it's like a Ouroboros snake. So it's like one thing leads to the next thing, which leads to the next thing. And we stay in this spiral cycle of just never ending doubt, never ending anxiety, never ending fear, never ending nervousness, never ending ability to pick our heads up to think about the future. All we can think about is today and tomorrow. Because like the quote says, we don't have the confidence with our money because we don't have the competence with our money. And so today, everything I'm going to talk about is how do we become competent with our money so we gain confidence with our money. So we, when we begin to think about money, we're not thinking about it in the sense of like, man, I can't do X, Y, and Z, or, oh, man, it's going to suck if I can't meet this thing or that thing. But rather, we start thinking of our money in the sense of, I can't wait to be able to make my budget, which right now sounds insane. Like, make a budget, that's insane. Like, why would you be excited to make a budget? But when we go through this, you understand why I get excited when I'm like, oh yeah, I got paid. Now I get to decide what I want to do with all this cash. And I get to like decide what I want to do. So, and all of this comes down to one slogan that I love so much. The slogan that if there's anything you can take out of this entire session that we're going to have, which I'm going to talk for a little bit and then it's going to be Q&As, open Q&As, any question you have about anything, we'll just dive into it. And it's good that we have a small group tonight rather than a larger group where we can't really get too much done. But we have a small group tonight. The one slogan that has completely that changed my mind when it comes to money is simply this one line, which is live on less than you make, invest and save the rest. Live on less than you make, invest and save the rest. This is how you become competent with money. It's understanding this slogan. If you understand what it means to live on less than you make, that completely changes everything. And this slogan breaks down into two parts. You have the live on less than you make part, and then you have the invest and save part. And we'll start off with the live on less than you make part. And that breaks down into three different questions that we have to ask ourselves on a regular basis. How much do I actually make? How much do I spend? And how much do I need? And so for some of us, it's like, what do you mean? Like spend and need are the same thing. No, it's very distinct and very different questions. How much do I make? How much do I spend? And how much do I need? It's very important that we ask ourselves these three questions. This is how we become competent with our money. This is how we actually understand what is going on with our money. Answering these three questions is the basis for making every other financial decisions that you will make. Because answering these three questions will tell you, do I have an income problem or do I have a spending problem? And as my dad always used to tell me, he used to say, if you do not know where you are, you're already lost. And now for some of us, when we hear that quote, it's like, yeah, obviously, if you don't know where you are, you're lost. But when he would say that quote, it was to resettle me. It was to allow me to realize, like, oh yeah, like, okay, where am I right now? Like, what am I doing right now? What do I need to be focused on right now? And I think for a lot of us, when it comes to our money, we're so all over the place that we don't even know where we are. And so he used to say that quote, and when I was younger, I used to get so mad when he would say it and be like, yeah, no duh. Like, it's so obvious. Like, what do you mean? But you know, it's one of those things, like, sometimes parents have wisdom that it takes years for us to come to that point where we're like, ah, that's why he used to say that thing. And it literally has just been clicking for me recently in my life when he used to say, if you do not know where you are, you're already lost. And I like to liken this to NBA players. You always see them when they go to the free throw line. Like, what happens every time an NBA player goes to the free throw line? He takes a second. He doesn't just get the ball. He takes a second, walks up to the line, takes a deep breath in, breathes out, then asks for the ball from the ref, some of them do the little hand on their jersey, bounce the ball three times, and then they shoot. What's happening in that moment is simply they're asking themselves, where am I right now? I need to resettle. It's different from when they're in the middle of the game and they're just going through their mechanics. Right? They're just going through all the flow of the game. But when it comes to a place where they have to stop and actually have to reconfigure themselves to take a free throw, it changes the flow for them. And this is the same thing with our money. We have to take a second to pause, take a breath in, and then decide what route we're about to take when it comes to our finances. Because far too often, we're just in life. Like, things are happening all the time. There's always something going on. There's always the next thing we got to get to, the next place we got to be. There's always work the next day. There's some kind of emergency with the family, some kind of emergency with our friends, with our siblings. But until we take that second, that active second to breathe in, breathe out, and then make active decisions for ourselves by answering these three questions, things will always remain difficult. So here's how we answer those three questions. We do it two ways. We track our spending and we create a plan. We track our spending and we create a plan. For some of us, this is going to be extremely difficult. And for some of us, this is going to be very easy, depending on what your background is when it comes to money. For some of us, we might need to go out and get all our old credit card statements from the last month, our banking statement from the last month, and then we have to go through all of that. So there's a few ways you can track your spending. The easiest way is to use an app called Mint. Now, I say it's the easiest way because Mint allows you to link up all your bank accounts, all your credit cards to one place, and it would download all your spending data into one place. It gives you good insight into your money. However, just because you connect everything to Mint doesn't mean you're done. You have to still go through Mint and categorize those spending that you've been doing. Give it the right spending categories that it needs to know about where you are when it comes to your finances. App you can use is something called Monify Pro. If you're the type who would prefer to actually be actively doing this, instead of looking backwards, you want to make plans moving forward. So you want to say, okay, for the next month of March, I'm just going to track all my spending and then use that as the way that I'm tracking my spending. You can use an app like Monify Pro. It does not connect to your banks. You will have to do this manually. I use Monify Pro just for me to stay in know of where my money is currently. And then the next one you can use is just old school Excel. You can just download a budget app on Excel and use that old school way and just put in all your finances and all your numbers in here. Now, the main thing with this is you do have to categorize your spending. You do have to categorize it. And we'll talk about how you can categorize your spending and the ways to categorize your spending. As you can see on there, there are three main categories that you're going to be focusing on is needs, wants, and save it. Needs, wants, and saving. And I like to think about the saving one as your freedom bucket, the things that allow you to do the things that you want to do. But you have to go through and categorize, like, what is, like, how much do I spend on rent? How much do I spend on eating out? How much do I spend on travel? How much do I spend on gas? How much do I spend on transportation? How much am I paying for Like stuff that we pay for, we don't even think that we're paying for, but stuff like that, actually categorizing all of that stuff will help us see where exactly is my money going? Where exactly does my money go? And then the last one I have on here is from Ramit Sethi. He has a conscious spending plan that goes through every single step in the process and helps you like actually think about where your finances are. I say for anybody who is going to use the Excel method, even if you're not going to use the Excel method, I still say get this conscious spending plan because it actually puts numbers, it makes sense. It just helps you make sense of where you are when it comes to your finances. And then the final one is for my old school folks out there who need the help. You just use paper and pen. Make a basic paper and pen tracker. Have something that you carry with you. You can do this on your notes app as well, where every time you spend a dollar, you write it down. You write it down and you just track it. I say you spend about a month tracking your expenses, just knowing where exactly your money is going. Spend about a month. Because the interesting thing is, most of us think we know where our money is going, but then reality hits and then it's like, oh, I actually did not know where my money was going. I remember when I first did this, I used to think like, oh, I don't spend that much money eating out. I don't spend money eating out at all. But then when I did this, I realized just in eating out alone, I was spending $200 to $400 a month on just going out to eat. And I was like, wait a minute, how does that work? And then when I started breaking it down, it was very simple. It was like $10 to $12 going to lunch 5 days a week. And then from there, you know, that's automatically right there. That's $200 a month right there. Boom. Like just spending $10 a day going to lunch. So that's $200 right there. And then there's the weekend, you know? You want to treat yourself. You want to go out, your friends ask you like, hey man, you free? And you're like, I got time, why not? So you know, you go out on the streets, you spend a little bit of money. Drinks ain't cheap, you know, it's $20 to $50 out here in the streets just to buy a little tiny thing of alcohol. Or you buy food. And then next thing you know, you look at your bank account, it's like, bro, how am I broke? Or you go out to eat and you spend $100 on dinner or something like that. And it adds up real quick, real quick. And we don't notice it because it's not all at the same time. And so by tracking your expenses, you can actually see how, oh, like, dang, I'm spending a lot of money eating out. I remember I talked to somebody one time and she was like, yeah, I don't eat out that much, maybe once or twice a month or something like that. And I was like, cool. Let's look at your budget. And I went through a budget and it was like, yo, you spend like $1,000 eating out every single month. And she was like, but how? And it's like, it's simple stuff. It's every day going to Sunday dinner or going to brunch on Sunday, brunch on Saturday. Going to that fancy restaurant that your friends told you about because you gotta check it out. Doing all of that stuff, it added up real quick. And of course, you know, she don't want to cook at home, so she always buying lunch and all this other stuff. So it adds up really quick. So this is the benefit of doing this tracking is just for you to see where am I spending my money? Where exactly is it going? Mint is great, like I said, because it links up to all your bank accounts and pulls in data from months ago. So it helps you track back and see history of how you've been spending. Modify is a great way to start with the present and see how you're spending from today onward. And then paper and pencil and conscious spending plan using Excel are great ways as well. So when you have that information, then you can figure out like, is it an income problem or is it an expenses problem? Or is it both? Or is it both? Your income minus expenses tell you where you are. Or do you have a deficit problem or do you have an excess? Do you have a deficit or an excess? If you have an excess, you're in a wonderful place to be. But if you have a deficit problem, then we need to dig a little bit deeper and say, okay, do I need to go make more money? Do I need to spend less money? Or do I need to do both? Which is a very hard thing for us to do. And the main thing when you're doing this, I really implore everybody, please, be honest with yourself. Be honest with yourself about you actually affording the lifestyle that you're living. Can you actually afford the lifestyle that you're living? Be honest with yourself. Because one thing that I've noticed a lot of times when I'm talking with people is there is in Nigeria, I'll say is your shine your eyes syndrome. Everybody's looking at everybody else. Another saying my dad used to say is cut your coats by your size. But what we've been doing in our day and age is we look at everybody else and it says, oh, if that guy's doing that, I need to be doing it too. That's dangerous. So we have to be very honest with where we are, what we're doing, and how we're doing it. And the one thing I also want to share in this thing is there's only so much you can cut out when it comes to if you have a spending problem. There's only so much you can cut out before you start to bleed. So just as much as you evaluate your spending, which is very important because if you don't get your spending under control, you'll always be broke. But at the same time, evaluate your income as well. Like, is your income actually enough? Do you actually have enough money to do everything? And I don't mean do like super extravagant things, but to do the things that you want to do. Be honest with yourself. Very important. So when you start, after you've done all of that and you've tracked all your expenses and you've made, gone through all the details, now you have to make a plan. This is the fun part, even though most people don't see it as fun, but it's the fun part because now you get to determine what your life will look like. The beauty of money is not in the amount that we have, it's rather in the fact that we get to dictate to life how we want to live. And an easy plan slash budget that you can use is something called the 50-30-20 rule. The 50-30-20 rule is basically your fixed cost, which is the things that you absolutely need to survive. Like, if you don't pay these things, they're gonna come for you. Your fixed cost, so that's rent, that's utilities, that's debt, should be about 50 to 60% of your take-home pay. No more than that, 50 to 60% of your take-home pay. I'll put in there as well, like your transportation cost, food. And when I say food, I'm talking about groceries, not eating out. Eating out is a luxury. I'm talking about groceries. Those kind of things, your phone bill, your insurance costs, internet, because in this day and age, you need internet to survive. Those things, how those shouldn't be more than 50% of your take-home cost. And it's going to be hard. It's not going to be easy. I'm not going to lie to y'all. It's going to be hard. There are some things you're going to have to like really adjust to get to that number. The next one is spending about, I say 20 to 30% on your wants, depending on the lifestyle you want to live. So that's like streaming, shopping, going to concerts, restaurants, all those things that you enjoy to do, 20 to 30% of your take-home pay should be spent on that. And then another 20 to 30% on savings and investments. This is what I like to call your freedom. This is the thing that you use to buy the lifestyle that you want to live. And I adjust, and I'll say, like, if you're trying to find, and the as far as the wants category, you can also call that your guilt-free spending. This is the category where you're going to lash out. And I'm going to share a quote with you guys here in a second. But this is the category where you just basically spend money and you don't even think about it. It's like, I've already put money aside for me to spend. Like I was saying earlier, when it comes to plantain chips and me, bro, I spend like $100 to $200, $100 plus a month on plantain chips. And some of y'all will be like, that's ridiculous. How is one person able to spend that much money on plantain chips? Yo, man, it's what I can do because for me, I don't do a lot of other stuff. I find joy in eating plantain chips. It's very enjoyable for me, and I'm willing to spend that much on it because I like it. And so you can determine what that is for you. For my sister, her thing is traveling. I mean, last year she traveled like every other month. But on the other side, she wasn't eating out. She wasn't doing a lot of other stuff. So when it comes to this category, when you're making your plan, you have to be honest about what is it that I actually enjoy in life. And also I'll say, like, if you're looking to cut down, if you're looking for areas to cut, I will first focus on that 50%. I will focus heavily on looking at your fixed cost. Can you reduce your insurance bill? Can you reduce your phone bill? Can you reduce your internet? Can you reduce your transportation cost? Do you need to maybe sell your car and get a cheaper car? Can you reduce your housing cost? Can you get a roommate to make your housing a little bit cheaper? Like, looking for alternatives is how we actually open up more room in our budget. Doesn't mean we have to get rid of stuff. It might just mean that we find other routes to do the same thing. So look at that fixed cost expenses and look at it as, have I done everything that I can to actually reduce this fixed cost expense? And then you can look at other stuff because other stuff are much easier to cut out. It's easy to cut out going to a concert, but that's a one-time thing. It's easy to cut out going to restaurants all the time, but that's a one-time thing. But if we look at the monthly expenses that we incur, that's how we actually get to the point of reducing our expenses. By the way, if you guys have any questions, put it in the chat. I can answer those as we're going along and going forward with this. And also, when you think about cutting down your fixed cost, just think of the thousands of dollars you can save every year just from doing that. For example, me and my brother the other day, we were talking about like our insurance. And if you live in Atlanta, you know insurance is stupid. It's just ridiculous. But I told it, like, I was watching some video and they talked about the fact that if you call the insurance company, this was during COVID, if you call the insurance company and you let them know, like, you're not driving that much anymore, they reduce your rates because your mileage, you can reduce your mileage and adjust your rates. I went from paying, what was it? I think I was paying like $130 or something like that, and I dropped all the way to $70. That's $60 a month. You multiply that by 12, that's $700 a year. I have friends who were paying like $200+. They dropped them down to $100 of insurance. All of a sudden, they're saving $1,200 a year from one decision. So usually, if you can adjust this number, you save thousands of dollars in a year. This is why I also don't ascribe to the idea of like, oh, stop drinking coffee or stop, don't cancel Netflix. Netflix is the least of most of our problems. Netflix is the least of most of our problems. Netflix is what, $10, $12? If $12 is the problem, is the difference between you being able to pay a bill and not being able to pay the bill, you got bigger problems, my guy. We got bigger problems. We got to figure out something else because we got to look at these numbers. So that's a couple of things to keep in mind when it comes to when you're looking at areas to adjust when you're making a plan. Based off of going back again to tracking your expenses, knowing how much you're spending on stuff, and then you can make adjustments for that. And actually, I'll also put in there, maybe Netflix is the problem. Maybe you do need to cut out Netflix and cut out a lot of other stuff. But, you know, just on the grand scheme of things, stuff. I'll share this quote, and I think this quote is what we should keep in mind when it comes to when we're making our plan for our money. I love this quote from Ramit Sethi. Spend extravagantly on the things that you love and cut costs mercilessly on the things that you don't. In other words, if you love eating out, maybe cut mercilessly on buying new clothes. If you love traveling, like my sister, she loved to travel, but she was always shopping all the time. So for her, she cut out buying new clothes for a while. For a long while, actually, so she could travel more often. For some of my friends, they love going to new restaurants, so they don't travel. For other of my friends, or my brother, for example, he loves to snowboard and ski, so he travels to do those things, but he doesn't spend money in other areas of his life. Because for him, that is priority. For me, I don't like eating out. I don't find it enjoyable. I just, to me, there's no difference to going to a fancy restaurant and going to Zaxby's or Chick-fil-A's. It all ends up in the same place. But I love, like I said earlier, I love plantain chips. I love going to sporting events and I love concerts. And so those three things are the priority above everything else in my life. Above everything else in my life. Plus, giving is very important to me. And so if you look at my budget, the things that my money is going to go to most of the time are those things. It doesn't mean I won't go eat out. It doesn't mean that I won't still like travel once in a while, but it just means like those are not priorities. So I will make I, if I wanted to do it, I would have to like just scramble around to actually be able to do it because they're not priorities for me. So figure out what are the things that I actually love in life? What are the things that I actually love to do? Is it hanging out with my family? Is it making sure that I have room to travel every year so I can go see my family? Is it making sure that I have enough room so that anytime somebody needs something, I have the money in my pocket to be able to help them with that thing? Is it making sure that I'm able to just go to a concert that I like last minute? Is it making sure, like for some people, they love Beyonce, so they're saving up to go to a Beyonce concert, which and spending all kinds of money on that, which to me blows my mind. But for them, it makes sense. And if that's their priority, as long as they're doing all the other main stuff, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Just spend whatever money you want going to a Beyonce concert. As long as you're doing the other things that we're about to talk about, it doesn't matter. I heard a quote, and the quote was, "I don't believe in myself, I have evidence." I don't believe in myself, I have evidence. And basically, the quote, the idea of the quote is, we spend way too much time believing in that we are have enough willpower to be able to get to the destination that we want to be. Rather, we need to spend more time building systems for us to actually be successful. So for some of us, we need to make drastic changes for the way that we handle our money and handle our finances. But rather than trying to do it by just brute forcing and being like, oh, I would just deny myself X, Y, and Z, making these plans, like going back and trying to find ways ahead of time while you're still motivated right now after coming to this class, because you have to be motivated to even join this. You're feeling the motivation. Making plans when you're still like motivated and excited is how you end up getting to a point where you're excited about money. So two things I want y'all to keep in mind when it comes to tracking your expenses and when it comes to the live on less than you make. Your environment will determine your success. Your environment will determine your success. In other words, what are you looking at on social media? Who are the people you're around? What is it like? Who are your friends? What are they talking to you and what are they saying to you? It's a lot easier to make major changes when you don't have people that are looking down on you the whole time. But if you do, then it's going to be a lot harder. The content that we consume on social media matters as well. So if you're looking at content all the time, if your idea is like, I want to cut back on spending money on clothes, but then you're still looking on social media all the time about people buying new clothes, guess what you're going to do? It's without fail. You can maybe go a month or maybe go like a couple of weeks without doing it. You're going to buy new clothes because your environment is telling you that's what you should be doing. So create an environment for your success so you can live life that you want to live, not like everybody else is asking you to live. I want y'all to have enough time to ask questions, so I'm gonna keep pushing.